Oh my God, what's that feeling? It's like not like daggers in your brain or your gut. It's like almost good. Like it feels like flowers inside of your body. It feels like I feel blue. I feel like the blue and light. Good news, good feelings. We'll see how long it lasts. Anyway, welcome everybody. You know how we always say that Wednesdays are big news Wednesdays? I think today is the day that proves that maxim, because JR Jackson joins us for the biggest news Wednesday ever.
I'm trying to figure out, because I feel like this happened before. There was a big news Wednesday and you said the same thing. It's the biggest, I think it was the day after the election.
It might have been the day after the, yeah, it was probably the day after the election. Yeah, that's true. But like, I feel like we had like the day after the impeachment might have been you. Like it always lines up that Wednesday is the big day.
It happens so regularly, that's when it became a thing that JR Wednesdays are just big news Wednesdays. And so in honor of that, I want to make sure, because a lot of things are going to go on today. I got my popcorn. Orange. It's even got Yoda.
It's a Yoda.
Uh-huh. It's going to be great. Eat your popcorn one by one, or like, on grill.
I can't tell if that's popcorn for the election, which we're going to talk about, or if that's popcorn for all of the madness happening in DC right now. Is that a Mexican Coke?
Oh yeah, I just had to pop it off with my opener, man. This is real stuff. That's real burp bubbles you got there for me.
Nice, I like it. You don't see Don Lemon burping on the news that often.
Popcorn
anyway. I love it, and there's popcorn emotes in there, by the way. Oh, and by the way, if you're watching on YouTube right now and you weren't here for the pre-show, we've been steadily rolling out new emojis, and today it doesn't fit thematically, but it's JR just like depressed with the news. It's actually a good day for the news, but I'm sure there will be bad days. You'll get to use it then. Anyway, for everybody watching, regardless of where you are, thank you so much for watching. Be sure to hit the like button and share the stream so the people know we're active as we go through what is way too much. This run, we got 1.5 rundowns for like less than one show that we have time for. There's just so much news. We're gonna try to get to as much of it as we can. Before we do that though, I do wanna let you know about something exciting. TDR is now on this thing called TikTok. Is it TikTok? Is it one word or is it two words? TikTok. Okay, we're live. I'm mostly joking, I know what it is. Anyway, so this is good news for the Dragon Squad. If you want quick quippy clips or me coming up with the next dance craze, viral dances delivered daily on TikTok. That's what we've got for you. We're gonna be posting snippets from the channel. You're gonna see Jason dancing. We're gonna see what happens. Is Sprocket going to appear? Definitely, yes. Is Sprocket gonna go viral? I can only hope so. But that's all available. You can go to TikTok at the Damage Report and you can see that. Thank you so much. The Instagram has taken off. We're excited to launch on new platforms. Next up, Parler. Anyway. Oh God, anyway. Okay, JR, with that, you wanna jump into some news?
I'm done, I'm ready to go.
I don't know what we're gonna talk about today. Anyway, let's do this. Unless something crazy happens, it looks like big things are happening, coming for DC, because the Georgia elections last night were just as close as we thought they'd be, but on the right side, because Raphael Warnock is definitely done beating Kelly Loeffler. Oh, down goes Loeffler. Down goes Loeffler. How good does that feel? We're gonna talk about the results. We're gonna be super serious. We're gonna be super newsmen and all that stuff. But she's so terrible. She's so terrible. So corrupt. So robotic. They took her to like REI and bought her like working man clothes or whatever, like a puffy vest and like flannel. And she started like doing this a lot and pretending that she's ever spoken with a peasant. And it didn't work. That's the good part. The joke was sort of on us, but the punchline's on her, because she just lost to Raphael Warnock, and it feels so good to be able to say that, JR.
Yeah, and so as we're watching, there's always, of course, the nervousness of the night, and we'll be hoping, oh my God, oh yeah, now it's going back and forth, and especially with the format of the way that these elections have been going in during the pandemic because of so much mail-in votes, and then as Trump, literally, I think he's still speaking right now, was talking about these. Suddenly these thousands of votes just magically appear, and it continues that same way. So because of things like that, the normal flow of where elections going and how many reporting are totally different. So it was nothing but nerves all night. It made it even worse. And everybody's looking at this one state. But yes, the relief comes in the fact that Raphael Warnock has actually defeated Kelly Loeffler.
He has, he has. And let's take a look at the results as they stand this morning anyway. Warnock, that race has like been called much more than Ossoff because it's more definitive. He's up about a little bit more than a point over Kelly Loeffler. So again, even with that race, it is very close. Every race, every count, every vote matters, I should say. With John Ossoff, you can see it's even closer. He's up by a tiny little bit. That's what do we got? 17,000-18,000 votes. So close. And that means that we have to start thinking, what is it that did it? Assuming that this stays, there's still a couple percentage points of the vote, but it is believed that that is slanted towards Ossoff. So in theory, his lead should only grow. Will there be a recount? Probably, it's probably gonna be within half a point, in which case it is totally legit. If Purdue wants to have a recount, they can do it. It ain't gonna change anything, as all of Trump's recounts didn't. But now JR, we have to wonder, with these races within 1 point, who gets the credit? Who gets the blame on the Republican side? What caused this?
Okay, so credit and blame, I guess it depends on which point you're coming from, because as we've seen, it's obvious that Donald Trump is gonna receive a lot of the blame. I think rightfully so. And beforehand, many Republicans also knew that, and they didn't wanna say that, again, to add on to the potential pressure of Republican voters coming out. And honestly, not even just Republican voters, Georgians coming out and voting for their candidates, because we keep going down this line of Republican voters gonna have to vote Republican and Democratic voters vote Democrat. But then when Democratic voters cross over and vote Republican, which happens and happened with, I think, when Trump came in office, normally Democratic voters vote that way. We say, look at the Democratic voters that have crossed over. We, even us, libs, we never talk about how Republican voters cross over. They don't talk about it. Why would they announce it? Because, you know, it's a bit of a cult over there. So there's so Georgia voters, I'd rather reframe it as that, came out and voted in a way that helped this go this direction. And obviously, people are tired of Donald Trump. It doesn't matter what affiliation you have. And the ones who talk about how much they're gonna go through everything for him, they're the ones that are talking. There's many more that aren't talking. Like, I'm so tired of hearing him complain about the same things that are his own fault over and over and over again. So yes, the number one culprit of this is Donald Trump. You got Mitch McConnell advisors and people that surround him that are talking about how they're gonna pull an all-out war against Trump now. Because look who lost his power, potentially. If Ossoff finished pulling this off, is Mitch McConnell. So those allies and those folks, they have a serious bone to pick with Donald Trump, especially since in the last few days, last week or so, he's been attacking Mitch McConnell. Yeah. So, hey, this is ripe for all kinds of cross inter fighting amongst the Republican Party.
Totally, totally. Oh, and yeah, I just have to keep being reminded of the good things that are happening because my mind isn't used to holding good stuff in it anymore. So down goes Kelly Loeffler, corrupt, made money off the pandemic, didn't do anything. The only election she has run in, she lost, so that's funny. Down goes Purdue, an awful person. The weird racist comments about Kamala Harris's name and the Ossoff ad where he made his nose larger. He's just a terrible guy overall. Down goes Mitch McConnell, who's basically just a shell stuffed with trash. Down goes Mitch McConnell. Him not having power is so important. It's better than Loeffler and Purdue losing combined, so they definitely go down. But yeah, on Trump, dude, you love tweeting about all the people that you supposedly got elected, that you just swoop in there, you do some tweets, you do some rallies, you deliver results, okay? That's what I would call the coin. Now let's look at the flip side of that coin, because when you come down and you do your rallies and you did your tweets and they lost, both of them, they lost Donald Trump. Where's your power? Where's your power? And I think that this might maybe be an indicator, or this makes me think that perhaps the Trump is the driving force of the Republican Party might not be as durable as it probably will be and as it certainly seems. Because the thing is, what Trump provides right now is a feeling of grievance and victimhood after losses. So whether it's him, he's doing it already, and we're gonna get to that in a few, he makes them think, hey, it was all stolen, okay? And the Republicans love that. They love feeling like they weren't actually beat, they didn't actually lose, they're not actually losers. But you know what they like more than being made to feel better after losses? wins, and Trump can't deliver those anymore. He can't deliver for himself. He can't deliver for other people, even in red states like Georgia. He can't do it. And so they still like him. They still love him. But like at some point, don't they want to win again? And so to do that, maybe they have to eject Donald Trump.
Well, I mean, I guess who's going to be the ones who decide that? Is it the voters? Because I don't think enough voters look far enough ahead. And that's just the nature of it. Doesn't matter. I'm not talking about just Republican voters. But voters generally don't look far ahead. Politicians do. Politicians are the ones who set up someone to run for a major office two cycles ahead of time. And then they set up that path to get them to go there. We've talked about that. You have to set up their resume to look good enough so that when they are presented on the national stage, suddenly people look at them and go, I never heard of this guy, but he's got a lot of accomplishments. Oh my God, he's so great. He's so wonderful. He's done this. He's held that position. So there's setups that happen like that. And yes, the parties will plan for that. But the people, yeah. I'm not sure if they're following that the same way.
Yeah, maybe, maybe. By the way, really fast, couple more facts on this. So Warnock especially, who did a little bit better. It's looking, I thought Warnock was going to be several points ahead of Ossoff. But Warnock did do a little bit better. And he did better pretty much overall than Biden did. He overperformed in mostly like Atlanta suburb, like more black areas by about 3 points better than Joe Biden. But even in Trump counties, he did about 2 points better than Biden did. So like across the board, more Dem areas, redder areas, he was doing better than Biden. And if we take a look at the breakdown of a few different groups, including racial demographics, let's take a look at this. You can see he did very well, 90% amongst black men, 94% among black women. But look at the white vote, 74% of white men still went for Kelly Loeffler. These are deeply conservative white men in Georgia voting for one of the most artificial, out of touch billionaire candidates ever. Because at the end of the day, she's still white, still a Republican.
It's all that matters.
I'm not gonna go for Warnock. I heard he was trained by Marxists. So anyway, yeah. He's really dangerous.
Yeah, I know there's tons happening. And then I just want to, because you said heroes and culprits so really fast. And honestly, she deserves a full segment on it. But Stacey Abrams is the hero on this. Stacey Abrams is one who's been working since no one knew who she was on things like reforming our voting system, fighting back against voter suppression efforts that the Republican Party's been pulling since the beginning of the Republican Party. So there's always been an exclusionary role when it comes to who is allowed to vote, to live a certain way, own property, everything throughout every kind of political disagreement and discussion and suppression of rights in this country has been carried out by certain groups of people who want to hold on to that power to just, at first it was just the land owning white person. Then it stretches on to a little bit further, but still it was every layer that was added to any kind of rights given in this country were people that still held a superiority over other folks' rights who were still being suppressed. It could cross through gender lines, it crosses through through your gender identity lines, your sexuality, any of that stuff. People's rights are still being fought for, and we forget that. We like to say, oh, it's come such a long way, racism is over, bigotry is over. None of that matters anymore. We defeated Nazis in 1945. No, we didn't. They're still around because we still entertain their thoughts. We still hope for their votes. One of our parties still does. So we still have a lot to fight for. And Stacey Abrams was waging that fight even when she was running for governor. She still fought. And then after all that, she didn't give up. And look what happened. This organization is putting people in place and letting them know how important this election is and giving them an opportunity to vote for actually their futures. And she's the hero in this, while Donald Trump is the heel.
And that work still needs to continue because, you know, maybe Georgia's shifting, maybe it's durable. It's still incredibly suppressed in terms of voting rights. And next time Trump isn't going to be, you know, on the other side of the ballot to vote against. It makes me wonder though, what if Georgia didn't have insane crushing voter suppression? What would the state actually look like? Now we could get there. But it's going to be people like Stacey Abrams, as well as a number of other individuals and groups, both operating today and those who have laid the foundation for it over the last decades. So that work needs to continue. Like if you did a great job by supporting, whether financially or getting out the vote, like Sunrise Movement was like getting people to vote and text their friends and everything. You still need to support those groups even after this, because if we don't put in the work between now and midterms, those midterms aren't going to be great. And by the way, Warnock is going to have to run for re-election in 2 years. So, because again, this is a special election. Ossoff, who didn't perform as well, luckily gets a full 6-year term. But Warnock is going to be running again very soon. So if you were involved and invested this time, you get to take a little break maybe. But then we got to get back in there and make sure that this seat stays that way.
Yeah. It's a lifelong thing. It's like, it's just engaging in the political process and fighting for your rights, especially when you've been part of the disenfranchised group. That's not a temporary fight. It's constant, because the people who want to gain power and want to control everything, they don't want to give that up. It's not like they lose and go, okay, they got us. It's never been that way.
We need to talk about a relatively new show called the Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be, featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity. The UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it, "You must unlearn what you have learned." And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
And by the way, we're getting great commentary live that I'm trying to also see about the ongoing Mike Pence stuff. It looks like he's not playing ball with what Rudy Giuliani and all of them want. We're going to talk more about that later on. They're already contesting one of the results. One of the reasons I'm not focusing as much on it, although we will be talking about it in a few minutes, is it's not going to overturn the results. So, but we will touch base with it in just a little bit. Thank you for everyone who's giving us updates. That said, let's turn now to Donald Trump knows on some level that he failed to deliver in Georgia. He gets that. And on the pre-show today, I was reading, we had some accusations that it was his fault coming from anonymous Republican sources and all of that. Well, he has a strategy to respond to that. Is he responsible for those dueling losses? No, because you know why? The Dems didn't actually win. And you know why? Whatever you want. Something happened and it caused the Republicans to lose. So last night he was tweeting, this is this morning. "They just happened to find 50,000 ballots late last night. Yeah. The USA is embarrassed by fools." I agree with that. It is embarrassed by fools. "Our election process is worse than that of a third world countries." Last night he was saying, "Looks like they are setting up a big voter dump against the Republican candidates." Yes, that's right. I'm still saying dump. "Waiting to see how many votes they need. These scoundrels are only toying with Senator Perdue, a great guy vote. It just didn't want to announce quite yet. They've got as many ballots as are necessary. Rigged election." So wait, are they rigging both of them or just him? Why are they rigging it and making it so close that you're still gonna have a recount? Here's a follow-up. Why not rig it on November 3rd so that we didn't have these runoffs to begin with? None of this makes any sense. Except that this is a very, very fragile man who is trying to process in real time his continued failures.
Yeah, which he's never had to face before, because every other time he's had any kind of either public or personal and private failures, he's been able to blame someone else, get mad at them, yell and rant long enough, throw his hair around, and then people just kind of back away and say, "Okay, we're sorry, Donnie. We'll go ahead and let you have your way." And so far, honestly, throughout his presidency, it's worked for him then too. And as these things start to not work out for him, he doesn't know this reality. He's like, "Wait, yeah. Mitch McConnell called Biden president-elect? I thought he was as big a piece of garbage as I am." And you were right, Donald, he is. But he's still worried about himself first, just like you are. And now both of your intentions and political goals are in conflict with each other. That's the problem.
And look, so he's saying that it's rigged, very vague, very repetitive. These are reruns from a month ago. Here's the thing. it is going to be interesting to see how much direct blame is put on him and how willing Republicans become to criticize him openly. So far, we're not there. It's still anonymous. But like, one has to wonder, amongst all of the other things influencing this election, what if Trump hadn't made the past 2 months about him whining about the fact that he lost? What if he had accepted his loss, conceded, and then seriously spent 2 months saying, we have to maintain control of the Senate or else the Dems will run wild? He sort of tried to make that statement a little bit, but amongst all of this electoral fraud stuff and the idea that he's still gonna be president. So he's like telling people, you need to win this so that the Dems won't have everything, but don't worry, like, I'm secretly gonna be president anyway, so it's not really that big of a deal. He like in real time made those two messages last night at the rally. And that combined with like the Linwood, let's boycott the vote, it's all rigged, there's no point, we can't possibly win anyway. Is that worth a point? Yeah, I think it might be worth a point. I think that absent that, they could have won this thing.
Yeah, absolutely. There's so many things. You mentioned it before, even before his own presidential election. If he handled COVID 15% better, that's, which by the way, is still an utter failure. A historic failure. If he did that much more, there'd be so many Americans that would be on his side just because of the sake of allowing him to get another shot at it. Or it's like, oh, he showed us one instance of being humble when he couldn't do it for the entire 4 years. Let's give him a shot. Because that's how some of us are in this country. We'll still give someone a shot that has a position of power, that has shown he has no right to have it, or doesn't know what to do with it, but we'll continue to give him that. So if he makes small shifts into the way he acted, it does wonders for him. The fact that he won in the first place proves that.
Yeah. I can't wait to see. Our, like, at some point there will be a feeding frenzy, because that's all there is who do I consume to gain their power, their strength, their money, their audience. But we'll see if it happens with Trump. I would also say that there's so many things I want to like remind us of and make sure that we know that we've been talking about over the past 2 months, but we talked multiple times about all the fundraising that was going on. Not just Trump saying, you need to give me money so that I can contest this thing, but tons of Republican senators like Ted Cruz saying, you need to give me money. Or they'll advertise in Georgia saying, we gotta protect these candidates. But then he just gets the money. Like, they drained money out of a state where the state candidates desperately needed that money to compete. Like, Loeffler and Perdue are terrible, not just as politicians, but candidates. So a lot of this is on them. If they were better candidates, maybe they could have just won. But virtually every one of the people who should have been their allies instead was only in it for themselves. And is that worth a point? Maybe that's worth a point too. There's a lot of stuff that could conceivably could have swung this thing.
Could be worth a lot of points. Could be worth 5, in my opinion. You know, again, if they played this the way they could have, who knows how much the swing gave him? He won by about a point, sure. But who knows how much difference it could have been if they played this a certain way, which again would have been extremely frustrating, because anything they would have been doing would have been based in lies and misdirections and recharacterizing someone as who they really are not, which they did do, but they didn't have enough of a momentum behind those false accounts, their opponents, and it just didn't work out.
And one other thing, like the whole checks thing. Like, Trump made the last 2 weeks of a double Senate runoff him saying, I want to get these checks, let's do a bigger checks, let's deliver. And Loeffler and Perdue were at least pragmatic enough to be like, yeah, we want that too all of a sudden. But did it happen? No. And why? Because of Republican senators and Mitch McConnell. Like, you had an opportunity. Mitch McConnell also screwed them over. Like, if Mitch McConnell had supported the $2,000 checks and Kelly Loeffler and Perdue had been able to go back and say, sure, Warnock and Ossoff are saying they want it, but we delivered it, could that have been worth a point? I think $2,000 checks in the immediate right days before the election, that could have been worth a point, but Mitch McConnell screwed him over. Mitch McConnell wanted to deny you $2,000 checks more than he wanted to continue to be one of the most powerful people in the world. That's how much he wants you in poverty.
Yeah, and so my last thought on this, at least as far as their failures, is if you think about it, and I always say this too, it's so much easier just to be right. It's so much more work to try to plan, manipulate, strategize around screwing over the people that voted you into office, Republicans. Now you have to find a way to look like you're honorable while screwing people over when you could just do it, help folks out, actually represent your constituents, and then they'll vote you back into office, which is ultimately all politicians want, is to continue to stay in office. So if you do something for the American people, you just might get back into office. But instead, they need to act like they're doing something for the American people, screw them over, and then still get back into office. Just cut out all the middlemen and do your job and then get reelected. It's very simple, but that's actually not what they're there for.
And by the way, that lesson from JR would have been very good for the Republicans from their point of view to have followed that. You know who else should listen to that? The Democrats now, because now you're going to be in charge. And Joe Biden, you don't want to be decimated in the midterm elections. You'd certainly like a Democrat to win in 4 years. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer soon. How'd you like to be Senate Majority Leader for more than 2 years? Well, then I have an idea, or I have JR's idea that he just told us. Do something, actually accomplish things between now and those elections, and you can get reelected. I know it's complicated. It's 70-dimensional chess, but people will vote for you if you deliver for them. And if you actually do the things you say you're gonna do, if you actually identify the problems and solve them, you can get reelected. It's super complicated. Anyway, there's just a couple more little things I wanna talk about on this. Sure. Everyone watching this, I want you to tell me in the chat, what is the toughest job in America? What's the hardest job to do, to qualify for, to be able to continue to do? You tell me, I don't know. But I do know the easiest job, and you know what it is? Right-wing grifter. You know why I know that? Because the standards have dropped so much. The gullibility is so pervasive that you can do this on Ambien, honestly. And we saw it in real time last night. Here's Tommy Lahren. The steel is in the making in Georgia. Wait for it. That's the laziest claim of voter fraud ever. Democrats scrounging up votes from mystical places again, she said. No, Gandalf's not involved. It's not mystical. The votes were continuing to be counted. But like, they love that. Thousands of retweets. Tommy Lahren has like well over 1 million followers. Like, that is how easy it is. Oh, Republicans don't want to ever acknowledge that they've lost. They want to believe that everything was stolen, and they don't require even pretend evidence. Like, the Dominion is taking out the center of the machines. That's like Shakespeare compared to this. This is just, I think they're stealing it. They did a thing. And yet, she's going to make tons of money with that sort of thing.
It's such an easy, it's JR, such
why aren't you a right-wing
route.
Pundit?
Oh my God. Well, I could be living in my house on the beach in a year, 2 years tops, bro. Easy. It's really easy because you don't have to say much. It's the same parroting of repetitive points over and over and over again. How much these socialists trying to take over the country. I used to be a Democrat, but now they screwed me over. Oh, my eyes have seen the light. Thank you, Republicans, for leading me to the light. Oh, I owe it all you guys. Hey, we have to fight back. Hey, First Amendment rights. I'm sorry, Second Amendment rights. First Amendment only for us. All these, just go through the line of ridiculous things you can say and how much you hate one side based off of nothing. No explanation. No details, no facts, nothing. Just say like, here comes the steal, you guys. Wait for it. Isn't that what you put on like a viral video when you're waiting for the person to slip at the end when they're doing something amazing at the beginning? Wait for it. Here comes the punchline. It's gonna come, I promise. By the way, I watch I watch plenty of fail videos, so that's why.
Of people falling? No, yeah, I just, falls. So if you weren't watching in real time as the results came in, here's basically what happened. Initially, it was looking good for the Democrats. Then there was a period where they counted some counties that suddenly the Republicans were up. And then that lead fell, and eventually the Democrats took back over. Here's the thing about that. All of those votes were in the entire time. This wasn't a thing where things were changing. We're just getting a real-time view of the count. There's nothing new happening. It's just counting, okay? And what you'll notice is, I don't know how much I was tweeting about this. In that middle period, you know, the period where the Republicans are both up, I was nervous and I was feeling bad emotions. But you'll notice that what I wasn't doing was claiming that at that point it was being stolen. You'll notice. But for the Republicans, it's just, oh, at the beginning, it's being stolen. Then the Republicans are up. Yay, I guess it's not being stolen. Then they counted more. Now it's been stolen. That's not how reality works. That's certainly not how elections work. It's just so lazy. And really, this isn't even about Tommy Lahren. Tommy Lauren is going to be as lazy a grifter as her desired marks will allow her to be. And they will allow her to be really, really lazy because they don't require anything more. She's not the only one. Kayleigh McEnany was tweeting, does anyone truly believe that an anti-military, anti-police, Fidel Castro inviting, Reverend Wright-loving Marxist embroiled in a child abuse scandal won fairly in the state of Georgia? I don't. Okay, cool, I guess. Does anyone believe that, you know, a billionaire, a pandemic grifting, like we could all do this. We could all, yeah. It doesn't mean anything. She lost, he won. A child abuse scandal. It was about someone else pouring pee on someone that he wasn't even involved in, and it was 18 years ago. That's why she has to be vague about it, because even she knows that the evidence she's providing isn't strong. It's just so rote. And the reason we're talking about it basically is I want you to be so, just inure yourself to this, because they are never going to accept a Republican loss again. They're at the very least going to pretend that they don't accept it, because there is clout to be gained by it. There's money to be made by it.
Yeah, and honestly, we've set up this system of not, you talk about grifters. It's set up of this system where you don't have to work very hard to gain political power and make a lot of money. And maybe previous to that, Republicans, whenever they would lose, like say 80s, 90s, they'd have to step back and go, okay, how do we reconfigure a way to trick Americans into thinking that we're for them? Now they don't have to do that anymore. All they have to do is give a couple hints as to how messed up the system is, and therefore vote for us. That's very simple. It doesn't require any thought process. It doesn't require you doing any work. It doesn't require you to tell anyone the truth. It's really easy to lie. So that's become the new mantra of the Republican Party. Just, well, it's always been that way, but just blatantly lie without even having any veil over it. And then enough of the idiots will listen to it and buy it. And then you can continue on with your political destruction of the country. But I don't know, maybe it's catching up to them. I doubt it. Because look, we still had tens of millions of people vote for this guy. And then there's still these people that are going to be out there protesting today for the Senate to overturn the election, and then for Donald Trump to somehow come riding in on his horse. I don't know what they're looking for today, but it's not going to happen.
Yeah, I watched really fast. I watched a little bit of Loeffler's speech last night. And it was like that, just watch that speech and you'll know why she lost this thing. Because she is, like they just picked a billionaire and said, hey, you go be a senator for a little bit. But she's not a politician, she's not charismatic, she doesn't get it. It was literally, she stood there and said, Warnock wants to pass socialism. I don't, I'm here for you. I'm here for the next generation. No, that's why you lost in Georgia, in this deeply red state. That's why you lost, because you're terrible. There's one other reason that she lost though, and that's why I want to transition to this last bit. You want to know why I think Warnock at the very least won? I think it can be summed up in two ads that he put out. Here it is.
Raphael Warnock eats pizza with a fork and knife. Raphael Warnock once stepped on a crack in the sidewalk. Raphael Warnock even hates puppies.
Get ready, Georgia. The negative ads are coming. Kelly Loeffler doesn't want to talk about why she's for getting rid of healthcare in the middle of a pandemic, so she's going to try and scare you with lies about me. I'm Raphael Warnock, and I approve this message because I'm staying focused on what Washington could do for you. And by the way, I love puppies. We told them the smear ads were coming, and that's exactly what happened. You would think that Kelly Loeffler might have something good to say about herself if she really wants to represent Georgia. Instead, she's trying to scare people by taking things I've said out of context from over 25 years of being a pastor. But I think Georgians will see her ads for what they are. Don't you? I'm Raphael Warnock, and we approve this message.
I mean, Raphael, maybe there is the a person name? That can oppose that. The puppy's name? I don't know, but I want to know. I want to follow that puppy on Instagram. Yeah, no, obviously that's not why he won, but it was very clever to get out in front of some of the attack ads. It like instantly, there was more charm in any 2 second portion of those ads than Kelly Loeffler has been able to manifest in the entirety of her life. Like you like that person. That doesn't mean that person's actually gonna deliver. We have to hold that person accountable, but there is something very likable and charismatic about that person.
Yeah, you guys know how much I hate the sleeves rolling up thing from politicians. They wear a collared shirt to a disaster event, roll up their sleeves and say, we're gonna work on this, and they're not doing much work anyway. But just put on a t-shirt and some jeans. You don't have to wear the collared shirt with the rolled up sleeves and say that you do it. I hate those political, like these images of being a politician that's out with the people. By the way, that Warnock ad was full of them. And still, It's way more likable than Kelly Loeffler. Yeah, the walking of the dog, the sunshine, walk along white picket fences, all of that is political ads. I hate to call it out like that, but walking, the far shot, the beagles in front of him. He's wearing a nice American styled vest. Not that it's American flag, but like Americans, he's American with the vest on. He's walking down the street. He mentioned how she's smearing him and he's a pastor for the past 25 years without saying I've been a pastor for 20. I notice all these things in this, but it works. And maybe, you know, the majority of people don't sit and listen to those small things and see what they're doing to have you think a certain way. But in thinking that certain way, it was true. That's what she's been doing. You know, if you can sprinkle in the political look of something and still give it the reality of what's going on in the race, I liked it.
Totally. Yeah, I liked it. It's stupid. And like, obviously, like the substance is far more important, but it's very likable. Maybe I'm just like a dog person, but I got news for you. There's a lot of dog people.
It works. It works.
Anyway, yeah, we played that ad like a long time ago. I just want to remind everyone of it. It looks like he's doing something with his hand there. Anyway. And that's his reaction to being told he should overthrow the Constitution and knowing that he can't. And that's the last time they ever shook hands. Anyway, a lot is going on in DC right now. As we're filming this, there are senators objecting the results of some of the states. Mike Pence is like, dude, I can't help you. Trump is really mad about it. So that's right now. But this has been, we knew that this was going to happen because of this little back and forth between Trump and Pence. This morning, Trump tweeted, states want to correct their votes, which they now know were based on irregularities and fraud, plus corrupt process, never received legislative approval. All Mike Pence has to do is send them back to the states and we win. Do it, Mike. This is a time for extreme courage. So why was he saying that? Well, he was probably saying that because the reporting as of last night was that Mike Pence was not going to help him, or more accurately, was not going to be able to help him because he can't do anything. Now, the New York Times reported that Vice President Mike Pence told Trump yesterday that he did not believe he had the power to block congressional certification of Joe Biden's victory in the presidential election, despite Trump consistently saying that he does, that he can. And what do you know? He kept saying that today. That is out there. Trump's tweeting the vice president has the power to reject fraudulently chosen electors, which again, no, he doesn't. Like he is a ceremonial person. He is Vanna Vice President White. That is basically what he is. He's literally supposed to open the envelopes and say, La La Land won. Oops. That's all he's supposed to say. That's the end of his part of the thing. He doesn't actually choose whether Moonlight gets to win or not. And so Pence told him that. And he told him in advance that he wasn't going to help him. So I have to assume, and based on what we're seeing out there today, JR, Mike Pence is done in the Republican Party.
Apparently
save Trump.
Well, so first of all, I forget if it was Washington Post or New York Times that originally reported that Pence had to tell him, sorry, bro, I can't help you. I can't do nothing for you, man, in the words of the illustrious Flavor Flav. So in saying that, Trump then disputed that report that they were going back and forth, that that Pence told him that he can't do anything about it. So he's even disputing the news of it happening and continued the pressure on Mike Pence. So this conversation that Pence had to have with him, Mike Pence, the one who shifted the water bottle in response to what Trump was doing, who nods his head every time Trump says something, who stands behind him and looks at him like he's a god. No lie, he stands with his hands crossed and he goes, every time Trump 100%. Speaks. And so now he has to be this guy who Trump is unexpectedly like, how? Wait, my puppet? When did Pinocchio come to life? And when did he start telling me what he can and can't do? He's surprised by this and he's like, we got to continue along down this road. I would love to have heard that conversation and how quietly Mike Pence said, oh, Mr. President, I don't think I can do that. And then the rage that flew into words afterwards. All these things I would love to be chronicled. It's like my kid thinks everything exists in video form. So if I talk about something that happened to me in 1992, it'd be like, oh, let's look it up, let's see it. I was like, that's not how it works, bro. Everything isn't recorded. I wish this was, because this, I'm sure this conversation was brutal, brutal to witness.
Yeah. Yeah. And the aftermath is going to be brutal for Mike Pence. And look, any sympathy that you have would be wasted to be put on Mike Pence. But in his defense, for the first time ever, he can't do anything. Like, and Pence and Republican voters, or sorry, Trump and Republican voters, if you're watching this, which you probably are, not busy in DC or anything, trying to like overthrow the government. We've been trying to tell you that he can't save you. Whereas your preferred grifters tell you that he can. So they set you up to be betrayed today. We tried to save you. Are you gonna give us any credit for that? No, probably not. Now, all of this is still ongoing. Trump said last night, they put out a statement where Trump said that the fact that he had a discussion with Pence and Pence said he wouldn't be able to do it was fake news. He never said that. The vice president and I are in total agreement that the vice president has the power to act. So no, it wasn't fake news and you're lying there. They're not in agreement because what do you know? Pence said he can't save you. So here is what is going to happen. It's happening right now. Unless something insane happens, the Proud Boys, you know, pull a Handmaid's Tale and gun down the Senate. Unless something crazy happens, here is what today will actually look like in all of the ways that it matters. Mr. Pence will preside on Wednesday over a roll call of the states. If at least one senator and one House member object to the results from a state, they can force a debate for up to 2 hours about those results. That's happening literally right now. Each chamber will then vote separately on whether to certify that state's results. For results to be overturned, both the House and the Senate would have to agree to do so. Because the House is controlled by the Democrats, there is no realistic possibility of any state's outcome being rejected. In addition, many, if not most Senate Republicans appear likely to join all Democrats in rejecting challenges to the results, including, by the way, Senator Lankford, who had previously said that he would support overturning the results. But after last night's results, he has turned around and said he's not going to be okay with that. So when the results from all of the states have been considered, Mr. Pence, who as vice president also serves as presiding officer of the Senate, will be called on to read out the Electoral College votes for each candidate, formalizing Mr. Biden's victory. And then that is it. That's going to happen. There's nothing that can be done that can stop that. It's gonna happen and then that's it. We still for some reason have to wait 2 more weeks until inauguration, but it's going to happen. It doesn't matter what Lynn Wood or Alex Jones or Donald Trump told you. It's gonna happen. Joe Biden's gonna be president. Trump, you're gone. Bye bye.
They know it's gonna happen. That's why they're in the streets. That's why they got guns. That's why they're charging it police in DC. And that's also why they're trying to charge the Capitol steps or whatever steps they're trying to charge. They know this. They've known it for weeks. Before the election, at the beginning of November, they were saying, let's be prepared because we're going to lose. They knew it. They know they're unpopular. They know that they know that the majority of the country isn't on board for this, even with their Electoral College route. And by the way, small thing on Electoral College, the reason that they're really, some of the folks in the Senate are trying to protect this is because they're concerned, and this could speak to you, John, they're concerned that maybe Democrats might jump on this and go, well, let's go along with this. Yeah, you're right, the Electoral College does suck. How about we get rid of that thing and let's go for the popular vote route? Because you know the majority of people in the country should be represented, right? But no, so the fear is that their tool that has allowed them to win any elections, some fringe aspects of their party are now challenging the legitimacy of that one lifeline the Republican Party has left. The only reason why they're even a significant name in our political landscape.
Yeah. Which it's not just them, actually. You know, we have a video that actually demonstrates how wide that group is. So let's transition to that right now. We have been trying to make sure that everyone knows what this process is actually going to be as we go from November 3rd to inauguration, where all the steps are, what can actually happen and what can't. And we're free to do that because we're not making money off of deceiving people about that process. So for the most part, it's been people like Trump and Rudy Giuliani, some Republican senators who have been trying to lie to their voters about what can and can't happen. One of the most important parts of that is what can happen with Mike Pence today. Mike Pence is not going to overturn this thing, but they were implying that he could up into and including last night. But I also want to make sure that you understand how broad the deception was. Fox News was doing it too. And I'm not referring to like Tucker Carlson or Laura Ingraham last night. I want you to take a look at a video from this morning. This is the news side of Fox News talking about what might happen with Mike Pence.
President insists that the Vice President Mike Pence, who will be presiding over this afternoon's joint session, does have the authority to unilaterally either accept or reject slates of electors. However, the Electoral Count Act suggests very strongly that Mike Pence does not have that authority. But I was talking to Rudy Giuliani about 45 minutes ago, who said there may be a way for the Vice President to circumvent the act, saying it is of dubious constitutionality, and send everything back to the states for reconsideration. Certainly four states, including Pennsylvania, Arizona, Georgia, and Wisconsin, Republican members of the legislatures there have sent letters saying that they want to get their slates of electors back so that they can try to remedy the situation. That would throw the whole thing, if that were to happen, to the Supreme Court. Not sure if this strategy is going to fly or not, but certainly these are arguments that we're going to be hearing throughout the day. And that's it for now.
So, great job, Marissa, with that. Anyway, okay. Did Giuliani say that? Yes. Is there anything to that? No. And that was a newsman of Fox News who's like, well, I mean, will it work? Who's to say? No, it won't work. And you know that it won't work. The woman laughing at your like joke at the end, also, she knows it won't work. Why aren't you being very clear to your audience that Rudy Giuliani is talking out of his wherever, and he doesn't, like, it's not going to happen. Even up to this morning, they're lying to their viewers about what Mike Pence can do. And nobody should be more mad about this, by the way, than Mike Pence, because he can't save Trump. And the country is now filled with millions of Republicans who think he could have and chose not to. Yeah. So this has been an amazing amount of like character assassination of Mike Pence over this.
And then, well, not see people like, or at least organizations, networks like Fox News have to now figure out how to split this, to understand what the reality of the situation is, but still not disenfranchise somehow their viewers from their opinion that reality is not reality, but they've created this large group of people to think anything that goes against them is just fraudulent because they followed this president down this rabbit hole of insanity. So now you have to go with how do we keep these guys, but then still somehow, okay, I get it. This isn't gonna work. So let's tell them that it might work. Maybe they'll keep watching us. And then when it doesn't work, it's not our fault. And then they hang with us. This is now the objective of a news network. Not to tell you the truth, but to still halfway tell you this lie, but then not claim that they're the ones who told it to you. They just allowed you to believe it so that you can still hang on with them and be fooled that they're actually on your side. No, they have to actually go through this process to keep you around because they know how clueless you are. It's sad. It's sad. And I wish one day, I hope one day, maybe they'll start telling 90% truth.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, look, maybe the fight that's happening between like Fox and OAN and Newsmax, that could and most likely will result in Fox becoming crazier because they're going to have an arms race on insanity. It could maybe result in them differentiating themselves by trying to commit to being serious. In fact, why am I even pretending that that's a possibility? It's not gonna happen. Tucker Carlson's like increasingly in charge of literally their news. I'm not even joking, that happened like a month ago. He's like in charge of their news side to some extent now. No, it's not gonna happen, they're all gonna be crazy. No one accepts facts, that's just the reality and we somehow have to make it work. I don't know how. Today, we are in the DC protests that are going on right now. As we're filming this, buildings are being stormed. We'll see how much more chaotic it gets than that. But we knew it was gonna be bad with what happened yesterday. It didn't take until today. Yesterday, they were doing it too. I want you to take a look at one of the speakers at one of these events and what they hope comes out of these protests.
Turn to the person next to you and give them a hug. Someone you don't know, go hug somebody. Go ahead and spread it out, mass spreader. It's a mass spreader event. It's a mass spreader event. It's a mass spreader event. There you go, hug it out. I'm married, but if you want to give me a hug too, or we can do that.
Okay, so JR, like the fact that he's like, I'm married, but like I act like this all the time, so my wife's not interested in me. So if somebody wants to hug me too, that'd be great. Because like I'm technically married, but that thing is shot. Because look at my whole thing, the whole personality I've got going on. That's ruined. Somebody hug me, please. I think that's what the whole thing's about. Is this guy really needs a hug? And you know, dude, I'm a progressive. I care about people, but let's wait until after the pandemic. But anyway, JR, what is with the mass spreader event?
What is going on? First of all, I don't know if it happened, so maybe I'm wrong. But he's up on a stage behind a big barrier from the rest of the plebes that he's telling to hug each other. Mm-hmm. You can come hug me. How many of them got up on stage and hugged him? Did he do a crowd dive like you do it at old concerts? Did you crowd surf? Did you jump and throw your back out? Did you turn over and start licking everyone's face? No, you didn't do that stuff. You know why? Because you guys go, look at that barrier. Look how high he is away from everyone. Oh yeah, come up and hug me. Sure, guy. Sure. This is such a great illustration of the way the Trump and Trump's people act. It's like, I'm with you. I'm right here with you. Here, come say hi to me. And then when they get within 100 yards of him, they're like, get that garbage away from me. Go hug that other piece of garbage over there that
laser I claim dots to love. Appear on their chest. It was a rhetorical point. He doesn't actually want you to hug him.
super spread it. Sure. You know why? They don't care what happens to you. The election's already over. Your usefulness is done. Die now. We're done with you. It's man, if you take a step back and actually look at what's happening without the whole political landscape behind it, bro, it's really disgusting.
Yeah.
And by the way, why, if you're married, say you are with the plebes, why is being married keep you from hugging someone? Jeez, these people. Mike Pence and his not being able to be in a room with a woman unless his wife is there, calling her mommy, whatever he calls her. And then this guy talking about, I'm married, but now I you can hug me now because my wife says it's okay, whatever the hell he said.
Hey, what you need to understand, JR, is that there are limits inside of a marriage. My wife provided me with a list of which emojis I'm allowed to use when sending to females. I'm kidding, that'd be sick, but I guarantee for some of these, what is up with them? I totally missed that point. Like it's a hug. It doesn't matter. You can hug people. Hugs are good. We're humans, okay? We're fairly hairless mammals. We're just animals that like to touch each other. It's not the end of the world, except possibly during a pandemic. And so finally, like you remember when we had the pandemic and we're still in it, and wave of protests all throughout the year. And then the right was all trying to say that those protests shouldn't exist because of the pandemic, even though like basically every single person participating in it wore a mask and studies show that it didn't lead to super spreader events and all that because they were being responsible. Yet those people who are trying to tar and feather those protesters, like did you see in that crowd? They're not wearing masks. No. And they are crowded in next to each other. And the pandemic is also much worse than it was 6 months ago. So is this gonna lead to a lot of people getting sick? Probably it is. We're not done with this thing yet. Those people are not vaccinated in the crowd, and so they should be more worried than they are.
Yeah, this is fresh off of the holidays that experts told folks not to travel during. And by the way, it wasn't like it was only Republicans or conservative minded people who traveled. Tons of people traveled. Plenty of people who are big on mask wearing, like I gotta go home see my family though. So yes, this is coming fresh off of those travel dates and gatherings. And now you're at this next event. This is how it works. It's just sadly, this is how it works. And either they don't know it or they don't care.
Ugh. Anyway, let's play one other video from the protest. We can't do too much on it, but this morning at the DC protest, Rudy Giuliani, who's still doing his thing somehow, he has tried for 2 months now his level best with what's left of his brain and his sanity to get Trump to stay in office. The court thing hasn't worked for him, so he has a different strategy, which he'll lay out here.
But if we're right, a lot of them will go to jail.
First of all, how about we have trial by trial? Oh wait, that didn't go well for you. You lost literally dozens of those. JR, he's willing to stake his reputation. Mm. Is that a cost, really, at this point?
I mean, your reputation was I think, man, when 2000. I'm trying to guess the date or the year around his reputation was gone. I mean, because he was on top of the world after 9/11 somehow. Mm-hmm. A tragedy like that. an attack like that will have this guy winning somehow. And he's taken that in reputation. The number of people that probably remember when Giuliani had good standing with the American people is around 10% probably at this point. Because, you know, we always remember what's the latest. And honestly, his good standing was just because he was mayor at the time a horrible tragedy happened to a major city in the United States. That's really what it was. Anyways, so he's willing to stake his reputation. Donald Trump is willing to stake his reputation. Both of those reputations have been staked in the heart. So that's already over. The light is already on them. The garlic has been waved. Those reputations are withering away inside of a coffin, turning into dust. Oh, I love that I nailed that vampire analogy.
You did. Anyways, you did.
Yeah, I don't even watch vampire movies. But he again, it's similar to the guy with the super spreader event. He's standing on a stage 100 yards away from the people who he's telling, I'm staking reputation, trial by violence, or what was it, trial by combat.
Trial by combat.
Are you going to be in this combat, Giuliani? No, Rudy Giuliani is not going to be in the combat. Rudy Giuliani is not in the streets of DC running into DC police right now. Rudy Giuliani is not running around without a mask on, breathing on other folks that are yelling about stop the steal and Trump won. He's not doing any of that. He's standing up in front of people, telling them to go fight and breathe on each other and then fight with cops. And then after cops pepper spray them, not shoot rubber bullets yet, I'm not sure if that's coming, but after cops then push them back, they go, how dare you do this to us? This is what really is. Have you seen Rudy Giuliani's face in the middle of these protests? Have you seen him clashing with police? Have you seen him wearing Proud Boys apparel? Is he wearing any yellow and black? No. Is he going around to churches and burning signs? No. Is he going in the middle of BLM Plaza and trying to pour paint on it? No, he's not doing any of that. This guy is sitting back and telling you to do it, and you're dumb enough to go do it. While weird brain matter seeps out of his face. That's what's going on with Rudy Giuliani.
And they're doing it. And you'll notice, by the way, that as those things are going on, there were people playing the guitar outside of the White House that were brutalized worse by the cops than these protesters are literally breaking into Capitol buildings. And I am glad that the police have suspiciously, in this case, learned discretion in using tear gas and all of that. It makes one wonder what orders were given to them in advance of this. I mean, the president is trying to get protesters to come here to put pressure on them. He's in charge of some of this. Like, we'll see if calls are leaked. Anyway, but so far there hasn't been that much done. In terms of Rudy Giuliani, he's willing to stake his reputation. I'm gonna try this good faith. What is Giuliani known for in the last year or so? Okay, he gave Jenna Ellis COVID by farting on her. His face melted. He did a press conference in front of Four Seasons Total Land and Garden. I think that the most admirable thing he did was that he was in that Borat movie for like fiddling with his southern bits. That's his reputation at this point. You can't stake it. It's Trump's stake at best. Like, what is, and Trump's reputation, Trump doesn't respect his own reputation. Anyway, we're not trial by combat. Bring it on. Let's do it. Come on. Seriously, I don't want to fight most people, but like Giuliani, you've been asking for it. His best defense is like the guy on Family Guy who's been greased. If you try to grab Giuliani's head, it's mostly going to be oil at this point. I'll fight. I will fight you, Rudy Giuliani. Just him, no one else. Just Giuliani. I'm brave. Stupid news. God, the news is so stupid. Anyway, it's. I would really like to do more, but with some of these stories, Marissa, I can see you. We will be bringing back these stories tomorrow when Rashad Ritchie will be joining us. So you know we're gonna have a lot of fun then.
That'll be fun.
We just flew by this hour of news. JR, I'm sorry. It's such a big news Wednesday that it almost blew the seams open, but thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Been thirsty after all that popcorn today.
Yeah.
I hope this is okay. I have this in the middle of the shot, but you know.
I don't know. I keep showing monsters. They're not sponsors, I can tell you that, because we don't have any massive sponsors like that. But anyway, JR, thank you. Keep yourself safe.
Maybe this is how I can get the house on the beach, you know, Coca-Cola. I drink your stuff.
Maybe. You gotta rush to DC and hand the cops a Coca-Cola. That'll do something. Anyway, I only know that because I'm rewatching SNL and they've been talking about that recently. Anyway, okay, I'll see you later, man.
Yeah, sure. Love you guys. See you.
Very excited to welcome onto the program an author to talk about their debut novel. The novel is Black Buck, And Mateo Escarapore joins us now on the Damage Report. Mateo, how's it going?
It's going as well as it can be, John. Thanks for having me.
Very glad to have you on. You know, the news as we're filming this notwithstanding. Very excited to talk to you about your book because it is a novel, it's fiction, and we don't honestly have fiction authors on very often, but it is a book that is definitely talking about a lot of things that we do talk about very often. So for people that might not yet be familiar with the book, tell us a little bit about the premise.
Yeah, so Black Buck is about a young man named Darren. He's living in Bed-Stuy with his mother, and he's working at a Starbucks in Midtown Manhattan. And one day, the CEO of a tech startup comes in and he orders his regular, but for some reason, Darren says no, and he sells him on a different drink. So the CEO, super impressed, invites Darren up to the 36th floor of the same building where his own company is located. Darren reluctantly goes up and he realizes that he wants to make more of himself. He wants to live into the potential that so many people says that he has. So he joins the company named Someone. When he gets there, he realizes he's the only Black person there. Not just the only Black man, not the only person of color, but the only Black man in the entire company. He gets to the top, you know, he goes through hell to get there. And once he's there, he says, you know what? I don't like being the token Black dude. So he hatches a plan to help other people of color infiltrate America's tech startup sales teams, redefining what it means to be a minority in the workplace.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's interesting because of course, you know, over the past, I don't know, 5-10 years or so, a lot of corporations talk about wanting to increase diversity, and it doesn't always really represent you know, an actual answer to the concerns that have been expressed. So what was this, what did this start as a story that you wanted to tell, or was this designed to engage with these ongoing problems where corporate America you know, is very much run by a certain sort of person?
Well, it was the former, but I think that you can't separate it from the latter, right? Through me telling Darren's story of what it's like to be the only one or the resident other, which so many of us are in these white majority workplaces, that it would be almost impossible to not comment on the disparity of representation and diversity, but more important than diversity, inclusion, right? Like, you have people that say, all right, I know we don't have a lot of Black or brown folks, let's just get some in there. So they bring some in, they hire them, but then when they get there, they're like, wow, I actually don't feel included. I don't feel welcome. So it's not just about fulfilling a quota. It's more so changing the environment to make it a place where other people can come and not just survive, but thrive.
Yeah. And so this is fiction, as we said, but you have some experience in a sort of situation like this. You come from this sort of world, correct?
Yes, I come from the world of startups and sales.
And so, you know, it's interesting. They always say, you know, you're supposed to like write about what you know. What was your experience able to help you bring to this world for people who, like I've never really worked in a startup. I don't necessarily know about that corporate culture. So, what did that experience help you in bringing this world to life?
It helped me create the world and the very intimate details that those worlds contain. Right, whether it comes down to the acronyms within, you know, startup workplaces, or what it's like to call up 100 people on the phone and not get anyone, or if you get someone and they tell you to F off, right? All of those details are in there for people that come from those worlds. They're gonna say, wow, this guy gets it. But beyond that, what helped me most write this book, John, were the feelings that I felt. And not just in the workplace, but throughout my life of oftentimes being that resident other. Right, that person who is tokenized and is looked at as the representation for an entire race, right? Whether it was playing soccer growing up, or more so, you know, in certain academic circles, you know, it's a typical trope of like, oh, I'm the only Black kid in the honors class. It's played out, but we need to discuss these stories. So through me having all of those experiences, I was able to go back into my emotional memory, mine it for the feelings that I had and still sometimes have, and then imbue the story and the characters with those same feelings so that it would first and foremost ring true to me and hopefully people who read it.
So the book is now available. It is 2021. We're more than two decades into, you know, tech and tech adjacent startups like this sort of corporate culture evolving over more than a couple of decades. From your research and based on your experience, Is it improving? And if so, by how much?
Wow. Listen, man, I try not to talk out of my, so I can't I can't give you a how much. And it would also be hard for me to say if it's improving because I wasn't in this space 2 decades ago. Do I think it's improving though? Yes, because at least we're having these conversations now. People were having conversations 20, 30, 40 years ago, right? There was a Silicon Valley of the 80s when they were creating the microprocessor and the chip. And you know, if you look back in photos of people who were creating those things, they're all white men, right? We know that. So it's not to say that those conversations really weren't happening back then for the sole black engineer at IBM or a comparable company. But now they're more in the forefront and people feel emboldened and encouraged to talk about them. And fortunately, it seems as though many people are willing to listen. So that for me is definitely progress, John, and move in the right direction.
What do you hope that people take away from the book?
It depends on who's reading it. I would say that people who have experienced being the resident other, as I brought up before, read it and understand that they deserve just as much as everyone else to chase success and in some cases achieve it. That being marginalized doesn't mean that you're a marginalized individual, right? It's really what you make it and how you persist. And it's not to say, oh, well, just who cares? That's not it. It's to recognize the flaws in these workspaces, but then work to continue to thrive and help others along the way. And for the non-black or brown people who read it, right? Because they will definitely read it. I want them to look at themselves and just say, how do I fit into this narrative? Because I most definitely do. And what's my role?
Awesome. Awesome. A laudable goal. The book is Black Buck, debut novel by Matteo Escarapore. Really appreciate you joining us. Obviously, you know, considering the time, it's a little bit difficult for, you know, the sort of book coming out publicity tour that you normally do, but we appreciate you joining us remotely for the show.
Thanks so much for your time, John, and take care.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.